Blog Talk Radio.
To another episode of Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio. This is your host, Matt Singleton, and today we will be having as a guest, we will be having Bob DeVore, and he will be discussing his economics policy. You may have heard the song we just posted was Bills by Lunch Money Bush. Figured it'd be appropriate song to bring out there. But essentially, we're going to do two different episodes on the economy. The next one will be job growth, and this one will be on the subject of spending. And with us right now is Robert, Bob DeVore. How are we doing, Bob?
Fine, sir. Can you hear me now?
Are we good?
All right, let's go from there.
All right. Basically, we just kind of had our intro music, found a song. It was by Lunch Money Lewis, and it was a song called Bills. And I figured that would be a good topic for us to talk about today. When we look at Louisville spending, you know, how is it going, and what are some answers? Now, spending is something that's kind of really abstract, I think, for citizens as far as what the government's spending, you know, because they say they got it and then they take care of it. But, you know, it works with us in a sideways. It, you know, they take it out of our taxes, and a lot of times it's taken out of our check without notice. But what are some major aspects to a city's spending that we might notice?
Well, first off, let's go ahead and hit the top. And this is from Metro Government. Last year, they said they collected about $800 million in taxes and fees. And they used about maybe one-fourth of that just to pay for the broken down the pension for the Metro Government employees, which I feel sorry for them, to be honest with you. What I want to do is do a comparison between my experience as running for school board versus what's happening in Metro Government. What I think is happening in Metro Government is they're part. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I guess we could talk about that. I figure I'll break it down to three parts. First, let's look at how Louisville has been spending, then your experience of dealing with the finances as a member of the school board, and then we deal with our solutions. So
that's what I was doing right now. I'm going to do a breakdown. What's happening is that, for example, like MSDS, I believe that there are a lot of top-heavy executives in MSDS that we could eliminate those positions and save a lot of salaries. And there are other areas in Louisville, for example, the waterfront park, and we have the recreational park, and there are some areas that we'd be able to combine those things, and because I think a lot of those areas are overbloated, to be honest with you. And by analyzing each level of bureaucracy, I believe that we're going to be able to streamline those areas. Now, in my past experience, when you deal with school board and policies and budgets, we get SEEK money, which is each student gets a certain amount of money that we go ahead and be able to use that to help facilitate their instruction. When I was on the school board, I think we averaged like $4,500 per student. So that year, the SEEK money went down. So as a school board, we had to look at the situation saying, okay, how can we be able to save money? What do we need to go ahead and cut and be able to stay in the black? And how can we really bring out the best out of our students? So we had to really look at it really seriously, and we had shut down two schools. One was the Whitley City Middle School, and the other one was in Eagles. And those schools were shut down, and even with the citizens in those neighborhoods, and I couldn't blame them getting upset, but we had to do what's right for the student and what's right for the district. And by doing that, what we did was we went ahead and opened up a new, brand new middle school and gave the students top-of-line instruction, top-of-line technology, and gave the teachers a chance to really utilize their experiences to help the students. Just in the black. It was a tough decision, but we had to do it. Now, metro government's the same way. We got to look at line by line, finding out what is best for our citizens. And by doing that, for example, I just said that before, if we go ahead and hypothetically take the riverfront and then combine it with the park and recreation, we probably save about $1 million just in salaries by itself. And then by doing that, we're finally utilizing our money correctly. Now, other areas like MSDS, we have 7 outdated pumps. We're talking about the big, giant pumps out there that help manage the water. We need to find ways to take care of that. Because sooner or later, what's going to happen is, again, in the past, the local West End would get flooded, and that's money being wasted, and we're not really focusing on that. Other areas, when it comes to pension, that's something that the Metro government, including Metro Council, is touching. It's like dancing around on eggshells. They say they have a solution, but not really, okay? So we need to have someone who has hard nose, grit, someone who's not afraid to take, hey, let's bring all the folks in here, let's get at the table, and let's focus on what is best for our city. That's the things we need to do.
Yeah, you know, MSD, that, you know, anybody with water bills in our city knows that was just a disaster. You know, it may be dealing with the sewers, but that really stunk. You know, just a massive amount of waste there.
Well, and anybody that can pick up a water bill and they look at it and they'll say, for example, well, I paid for water maybe $50. Then where's all those going? So you get the $150 bill and they're scratching their head, going, what's going on here? Drainage, you know, water coming from the sky. Well, we got to pay for that. All these outdated, you know, fixes that they should have done a long time ago, now they're popping up. And to me, the mayor is not really utilizing his resources wisely. And another thing I understand is that, if I'm correct, he has 4 to 5 deputy mayors under his domain. Why does he have so many executives underneath him? That's a lot of money wasted, I think. My opinion is, I think he should have 1 or 2. And then take that money, reinvest it into our system, take care of those buildings such as he promised the police officers that he would have a brand new building, take care of high-tech, 21st century technology, give them the resource to do right. Well, where is it? And in my opinion, I think they should go one step farther, be able to centrally locate that building right in the heart of Jefferson County and be able to use that as a hub to all the different areas around there instead of just sticking downtown. You know, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things where, you know, Louisville, you know, many years ago merged with the county, and it's real weird because technically it's not merging the land as much as just merging the government. And, you know, a lot of people who might, you know, live downtown have kind of said, oh, yeah, that was a great deal. You know, well, it was good for you. You know, good for you if you live downtown because everything's still going on downtown. But the city doesn't really function, you know, in the county. And so everything's being used on the city, and the county just really kind of takes a lot of, like, the garbage, whether literal or figurative, everywhere else.
You know, that's correct. That is correct. And so what they did was they broadened their tax base. So their tax revenue almost doubled when they annexed all the other small towns inside the metro government. And the problem I see is that they're not utilizing it to help those small towns grow and prosper. And that's where my problem is.
Yeah, the only thing that's been prospering is all the surrounding counties because people who are well off are saying, hey, I'm going to take my money and invest it wisely, so I'm going to leave the county. And so the money is leaving the county, and the burden is being added on.
That's correct, sir.
You know, you look at some of our neighborhoods, I mean, they're really falling apart from where they once were.
Look at all the businesses that have left us in the past couple of years. You know, mm-hmm. Kmart's left us. We have Moby Dick's. Is that Moby Dick's? Is leaving us. There are a lot of different restaurants that I saw, and I remember going out this is true. We used to go Thanksgiving over at that buffet restaurant right off on Bardstown Road in Hurstbourne, and it's not there anymore. Now it's Rooster. You know, those places, it's kind of hard for them to compete. Right, that's correct. And when you have a high water bill, high electric bill, and you're trying to find ways to, you know, keep your customers happy, and then your end decision is, hey, I can't afford to do this anymore. And all of a sudden, they're gone. You know?
And then you got, like, you know, a lot of people might think, let's say, like, with a water bill or something, well, I live in an apartment, I have to worry about the water bill. Well, have you noticed your rent going up?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
One way or the other.
That's exactly right. Because the owner's going to have to say, how can I be able to make up this extra payment on the water bill? Why is my electric bill going up? You know, those things make a big difference in when it comes to creating a wellness community, a healthy community, a community that be able to have small businesses say, hey, I would like to come back to Louisville and be able to start there because I have family there. I've had family there for years. Yeah. Why not go back? When they look at the bottom line, they say, well, I can't afford it. And that's where our problem really starts. How can we bring the small business back, not only to start, but to be able to sustain as a positive growth community leader? Because those are leaders in our community. Businesses are, you know.
Yeah.
How do we bring back businesses back in the West End? When you have your own buildings down there who devaluate by the daily of $1,000, and they don't understand. Well, hey, then why should I even try to be a positive growth leader in that West End when I can't get a benefit out of it, you know?
I've got a brother who lives in the Shawnee district, and it is a thing that, you know, you just don't think about until you live there. But, you know, there's not very many restaurants. You know, whenever they go to a restaurant, it's easier for them to cross state lines to go to a restaurant than it is to find some place to eat in their own neighborhood. You know,
and you're exactly right, sir.
When they talk about, yeah, and on top of that, you know, there was all that commotion about, you know, that Walmart was going to give it a shot. They were looking into coming into the West End and taking over an empty parking lot that's just really nasty looking right now. And basically some of the local stores didn't want to have it. They said, well, that's competition. But the thing is that it doesn't matter if there's competition if people got money because they're working. You know, and so all these things kind of really build up and heap themselves on top of each other. Let me go back, though. I just want to kind of get a good foundation of this. When we look at the history of Louisville, what has the budgeting been like
When you look at first, most people don't even see past Jerry Abramson. He was there for so many years. But have you looked any at, like, the Louisville's budget over the years from, like, before Jerry to Mayor Fisher?
Well, the whole point of the situation is they saw this as a need. And I believe since the past 47 years, our metro government has been controlled by the Democrats. The mayor's office has been controlled by the Democrats. And the only thing they can see as growth is trying to increase taxes. And they have control on that. So that's one of the reasons why they annexed all those little towns under one umbrella. And by doing that, they thought they had the answer. So if you look at the budgets in the past, they went from $300 to $400 to $500 million annually. And then they say all these wonderful opportunities, such as bringing in entertainment, having a possible international soccer stadium as a possible gold mine. And what I think is so sad is the fact that we have our West End brothers and sisters down there who are trying to survive on what they make, and they see no hope. And they look at Jerry Emerson in the past, a mayor who wants to be governor sooner or later, as a guy who says he has compassion. Where is the compassion now? Look at the murder rate that happened in the past 3 to 4 years. Oh, yeah. They say that, we had 117 murders. Oh, we're down by 8. Oh, we did a good job. Really?
Yeah.
Every person that got murdered is a caring, loving individual. Okay? You're talking about moms who lost their sons and daughters. Yeah, it's a sad, hopeless situation. So we need to have somebody in there who's not afraid.
You have to ask, what's the role of mayor? You know, is the mayor, you know, your hired friend? Is he supposed to say they're there as he, you know, doesn't do anything to solve problems? You know, he's supposed to be mapping out things, getting things together, getting a proper budget, helping the city to run efficiently, so he doesn't have to go there and pat everybody on the back of the feet saying they're there. You know, the thing is that this is a real horrible problem because it's an illusion. You know, these people think, well, Republican would be the last thing on the earth you want to vote for. They're the cause of all evil. Well, guess what? They're only like, you know, maybe 10-20% of the government, okay? So they're not actually affecting any change. And without that, all you're dealing with is the people, the Democrats, that you keep on voting into office. You know, you wonder
That's
why
correct,
all this stuff is going on. And there's been times where I have been working around Democrats, and it is a weird, bizarre contradiction. They'll say they're for Democrat, and it's, you know, it's that or go to hell. I mean, it's your soul is on the line if you got to vote Democrat. But then every problem they bring up is something as a result of their platform. You know, they don't like
that's
the corruption
exactly.
That's going on. They don't like all this, you know, having to pay all the taxes. They don't like having to deal with this stuff. Well, the thing is that you have to get a different philosophy then. You know, even on the national stage, Whoopi Goldberg will preach her leftist values all day long, and then she's going to complain about having to pay so much taxes. Like, well, maybe if you had a different philosophy and would get somebody there who doesn't want to spend all our money, then maybe things would work, because when the government's spending money, you're not.
That's exactly right. And I'll give you a prime example in my personal life, okay? We finally sold our house in McCrae County, and we paid off about 95% of our debt. We're under $5,000 in debt, which means a lot to me. To getting myself out of debt and then focusing on being proactive and saving my own money to do things for my wife and my kids is a basic foundation to what we need to do for government. We got to be able to be, number one, accountable for actions, number two, accountable for what we do in the past or did in the past, and then understand the situation and focus on what is best for the future. and we got to streamline our government to where it's more a smaller and efficient government, at the same time saying, this is not my money. This is the taxpayers' money. This is your money that we're spending. And we need to be accountable for that. And a lot of times, Greg Fisher isn't. I mean, he looks at the situation saying, let's bring in all these high things. Hotels and restaurants is great, but they're not really focusing on the foundation of our society, and that's the family. Our family's been broken for 40, 50, 60 years. We have kids out there who haven't had a father in their own life. We have kids out there who haven't had a real mother in their own life. We need to focus on the basic foundation of our society, and that's strengthening the family itself. And that's where we need to begin.
And, you know,
and focusing on.
I know that he knows this. I don't think he really participates in it, but I know that he knows this. And I know why. You know why? Because I remember when they had these young gangs. They had a gang of 200 kids. It wasn't an organized gang, just, you know, mass insanity, basically, running through, destroying up downtown and the bridge and gas stations. I mean, they just all decided to go nuts. And they're going nuts because there is no direction in their life. And Fisher finally said, you know, maybe the churches could help us. Oh, well, I'm glad you finally noticed. But the thing is that, you know, when we deal with these issues, we have to be careful with what we have. And when you see a bunch of plastic horses everywhere, it doesn't say to me, oh, okay, well, they're really on target now. You know, I don't need to worry about horses.
But, you know, you can't blame the kids, really. Their love bucket is empty. You know what I'm saying? They're looking for something they can gravitate to say that's their family. That's why a lot of kids join those gangs, because that's their family. They need that as a cornerstone, and they're looking for that, and then they're looking for the wrong thing to put in a love bucket. What they need to do is find someone that's in their own family and say, hey, you're my mom, you're my dad, you know, let's stick together and make this work. Life is not a heaven and ice cream and candy. We have to plow through with the problems we face in front of us and say, hey, let's do this together. And that they're looking for that. Yeah. They're looking for that so they can say that's theirs. You agree with me, you know, on that point?
Oh, yeah. Last week, you and I got to spend some time with a very powerful big national ministry called Youth for Christ. And basically, there are groups out there that, unfortunately, they don't get enough advertising. They don't get enough contacts and stuff. But basically, they're out there. Youth for Christ was actually one of the longest-running youth programs, helping people in trouble and stuff like that. One of their first on-staff members was none other than the late Reverend Billy Graham. And there's many of these different groups that, you know, we need to look to and point to say, hey, you know, they are designed, they are here, they are available. And
that's correct.
What ends up happening is, though, we have this over-secularized culture to where, you know, anything religious seems to be abstract, even if it's people trying to do good for others. You know, it's just turned into an abstraction instead of turning into reality and the way out of a mess. Instead of looking to people and people freely helping out in charities and stuff like that, we say, well, the government should be our mommy and daddy. The government should be our God. No, the government cannot be your family. The government cannot be your God. The government sets up justice, and the government basically is to protect the economy instead of being a predator upon it.
That's correct. And then we have organizations such as Trinity Life, Man Up, and a lot of these caring organizations. And what I think I can do as mayor is ask them to come to the table of life. Let's focus on how we can be able to bring Louisville back into a health and wellness society and use this opportunity to grow and prosper and help our kids. They're hurting. They're suffering. The families are suffering, not only in the West End, but all over Louisville. And we need to really understand the cause and effect of our society and get right to the core of it, and that is trying to focus on God and family. And that's what we need to do. And a lot of our society does not want to even try that. They say that we should be victims of society, that we should not be accountable for our actions. And we have role models out there who are trying to do their best to try to encourage kids to say, hey, we're here for you. We want to do what's best for you. But you got to understand your problem, be able to solve it and have a solution to take care of you. And to me, I think that's one of our biggest liabilities now is that we don't look at each other as special, the born and unborn. We don't look at each other as unique. And showing a possibility of this little girl down the road saying, hey, you could be a teacher, you could be a lawyer, you can own your own business, but you have to have confidence in yourself. We're going to get that confidence at, and that's in the family. And that's one thing we really need to strengthen in the family. You can't. That's our cornerstone to our society, our cornerstone to our community.
Well,
the mayor do anything he wants to, but if he doesn't recognize that problem, then it's going to just snowball and get bigger and bigger.
All right. Now, Bob, people can see you coming to an event, I believe, this Thursday. Is that right? The Women's Republican Conference?
Yeah, it's, and I'm glad, you know, I have to get kudos out there to Angela Leach. She's my opponent, and it's going to be the Louisville Tea Party. And I'm looking up the address right now as I speak. And she's going to speak on her behalf, and which is okay because in 2014, probably maybe 50% of our citizens didn't even know there was a mayor's race. This year, they know there's a mayor's race. And to me, this is a positive thing. So, it's like I said, I'm trying to find where it is right now as you speak. Go ahead and talk to her, and let me go ahead and look this up for you real quick.
Okay, and basically, one place that people can get a hold of Bob is on Facebook, Robert DeVore. And I've noticed, the Bob DeVore for mayor, I don't know if that's a site or if that's just your slogan right now.
My website is voteforbobdevore.org.
Okay.
And that's
vote for BobDeVore.org.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Okay. So that's one thing, we want to kind of make sure that people get access to Bob so they can contact him and also so they can check out his platform. Obviously, we're going to take some time to get as much of his platform out there. It's been a long road.
I got the information.
Many years with,
I'm sorry, sir.
I was just saying it's been a long road with Chuck Yannick Grassroots Radio. We've been wanting to make a difference in this city.
Give me 10 seconds, please. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. The meeting's going to come up this Thursday. It's going to be at St. Matthew's Community Center, which is 10 Pine Lane. 10 Pine Lane. And it's behind the bowling alley and in Central Road. So that's going to be it. It's going to be about 6 o'clock. That's when the social event starts. And then the business will start at 6:30. I highly suggest you all come out and listen to these candidates. Because to me, a well-informed voter is the one that's going to make the best choices in their life. So, and thank you.
All right. So we will be back with Bob next week. We'll talk about focusing on job growth. And then we'll go over the social issues and education and stuff like that, which we'll be more than happy to let you all get informed on here on Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio. We'll see you later.